Thank you, Jonathan. And it's so good to be with everyone today. Let's open in prayer. Dear Jesus, we come before you, and you alone have the words of life. And we just ask that by your Holy Spirit that you'd speak to each of our hearts today. Guide us closer to you. Guide us into your truth, we pray. Let us understand you as our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, I was on a very unusual mission trip. You see, at that time, I was working in the inner city of Minneapolis with an inner city ministry, working among the poor, and many of the people we were working with told us about an event where there was not a Christian witness. This event was called The Gathering. And we learned from the people we spoke to that it had been started in the 1960s by hippies who were seeking spiritual truth. And what would happen is every summer, about 40,000 to 60,000 people from all over the world would gather in a national forest somewhere in the United States and seek spiritual truth. And many of them would do drugs, and they were interested in all kinds of New Age cults and all kinds of strange religious experiences and false religions. So we thought, what a great place to preach the gospel. So we get into our cars and we drive all the way across the country to the location in a national park, a national forest. And what we did is we set up our camp right in the middle. And we set up a Jesus kitchen because many of the people arrived without food. So we would make food and feed them and invite them to an evangelistic service at night where we would share the gospel. And while they would eat at our Jesus kitchen, I and my friend would stand with our guitars and sing worship songs the top of our lungs as everyone would walk by. And it was just this wonderful opportunity to preach to people who had never heard the gospel. But one night I was walking alone, and I was surrounded by beautiful hills. We were in the mountains of New Mexico, and I was surrounded by beautiful trees and amazing stars. And yet I felt such a heaviness because of all the false beliefs that so many people around us at this event believed, all the lies that they believed. It was such a spiritual heaviness I felt. And I realized at that moment that there are many voices calling out to us, many, many voices. And at the gathering, there were voices of all types of strange New Age religions. But I also realized that there's only one voice that leads us into life, and that's the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so let's look today at John chapter 10, and let's read the first few verses of that chapter together. Jesus is talking, and he says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Now, just to give a little background for this passage, in the chapter right before this, in chapter 9, Jesus had miraculously healed someone who had been blind all his life. He had been blind from birth. And Jesus heals him, and then this man gets in trouble with the Pharisees because Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath. And to the Pharisees, their religious laws were more important than God healing someone. And according to their laws, they thought it was unreligious to heal someone on the Sabbath. After this event, Jesus says something very interesting in chapter 9, verse 39. He says, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." He's using a very common picture that they were aware of. They were aware of blind people. They were surrounded by blind people, and they had just seen a blind man healed. And Jesus points to this blind man who he had just healed, and he says there's a deeper truth to this. See, there's something called spiritual blindness. Sometimes we can see with our eyes but be blind with our hearts. And the Pharisees fell into that category. They claimed to see, but they were actually spiritually blind, and they missed the truth of who Jesus is, even though he was standing right in front of him. And then, with the Pharisees still there, Jesus then shifts his imagery from spiritual blindness to spiritual hearing. And he talks about the sheep of the good shepherd and about how they hear the shepherd's voice. Now, how do the sheep know the difference between the good shepherd and all these other voices that are trying to lead them astray? These other voices Jesus calls thieves and robbers. How do the shepherd's sheep know the difference between the good shepherd and the others? Well, Jesus says it's by their hearing. They can hear the good shepherd's voice and they recognize his voice. And this is a common phenomenon. When I'm back at home, at my family's home in Minnesota, I can tell who's walking up the stairs just by listening. Can any of you do that? Everyone in my family walks differently. My dad has a certain walk. My mom has a certain walk. My sister Rebecca and my brother Andrew and Andrew's dog, we all have different walks. And I can just listen. And sometimes I'll be in a different room and I'll hear someone come in, and just by the way they open and close the door, I know who it is. And scientists actually tell us that our ears begin developing in the womb by 20 weeks after conception. And even in the womb, the baby begins listening to the voice of his or her parents. So we're trained to recognize our family members because we've spent time with them. We've been listening to them. We know who they are. And so how is it that the sheep of the Good Shepherd can recognize the Good Shepherd's voice? It's because they've spent time with the Good Shepherd. They know who the Good Shepherd is. They know what his voice sounds like. They know the type of things he says. They are used to being around the Good Shepherd. And for this reason, when a stranger comes and tries to lead the sheep astray, they recognize that that voice is not the voice of the Good Shepherd, it's a strange voice. And they know to flee away. It says in verse 6 that they'll run away from a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now later in verse 7 and following, 7 through 10, Jesus says that this is not a light subject. This is a very serious subject. And let's read this together, starting with verse 7. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. But the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, this is a serious situation. There are dangers for these sheep. There are thieves and robbers that try to lead them astray. And that's why it's so important for the sheep to recognize the Good Shepherd's voice so that they can follow that shepherd and stay close to the shepherd and be protected from these dangerous influences. And why is it that following Jesus is in our best interest? It's because in verse 9 and 10, he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." When we follow Jesus, we find the most rewarding life possible on earth. It's because Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep. If we're not following the Good Shepherd, we're following someone else. And wouldn't it be tragic to spend your whole life climbing a ladder that you think will lead you to success and happiness and joy, and then to find out at the end of your life that you've leaned your ladder against the wrong wall? that what really matters in life is something other than what you've been pursuing. But the way to avoid that is to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow the shepherd and to find, as we follow the shepherd, the most rewarding life possible. You see, unlike the thieves, the robbers, and in verse 11 and following, the hired hands, the good shepherd loves his sheep with a sacrificial love. Let's read verses 14 through 18 together. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again." Let's stop there. You see, the good shepherd loves his sheep so much that he gives up his life for the sheep. Earlier in verses 11 through 13, Jesus talks about the hired hand, those that don't really love the sheep with a sacrificial love. And I think in this passage he's referring to the Pharisees in chapter 9 who were so concerned about their religious ceremonies that they were upset when Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath. They didn't really love that blind man. They loved their rituals more than they loved human beings. But the good shepherd loves his flock, loves that blind man, and loves each one of us so much that he lays down his life for us. In Romans 3:23, I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." You see, as you know, Jesus died on the cross for us, Jesus being the good shepherd. When Jesus talks about the good shepherd in this passage, he's talking about himself, and he's saying, "I lay down my life for everyone else, for all of you, my sheep." And by dying on the cross, Jesus bore our sin. He bore everything that separates us from God so that he could remove that from us so that we could be reunited with God in love. You see, we were all created to have a relationship with God, but we've all gone our own way. We've turned our back on God. But through Christ's death, we're reunited with God. And the really good news, though, is that the good shepherd didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And later in this passage, in verse 17 and 18, Jesus says, "I lay down my life only to take it up again." He says, later in verse 18, "I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." You see, Jesus is not just a person like you and I. Jesus is God. So he had the power to die for us, to bear our sin, to remove our sin, uniting us to God. And then he had the power to rise from the dead. And see, that's what makes Jesus unique. I'm reading right now a biography about Abraham Lincoln. And it's a great book. And Abraham Lincoln is a wonderful person and leader. But is Abraham Lincoln alive today? Is he still our president? If I say I'm a follower of Abraham Lincoln because I believe he's still the president of the United States, you'd think I was completely crazy. And that's why Jesus is different from Abraham Lincoln and every other great leader. Jesus is alive today. When I say I follow Jesus, that makes sense because Jesus rose from the dead and he is our good shepherd. He not only was the good shepherd for the disciples, but he is today. So Jesus is alive. And he talks about life so much. As we read in verse 9 and 10, he says, "I want to give my sheep life so that they can have it to the full, the best life possible." Over and over again in John, he's talking about life. In John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and streams of living water will flow." And in chapter 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, no matter what what God leads us into as the Good Shepherd, as we follow His voice, as we hear His voice and follow Him, He is there with us as that Shepherd leading us. On Friday night, we talked about Samuel and how God spoke to Samuel, gave him a really difficult step of faith to take, and how Samuel had to obey God, even though it was very difficult and hard. And as God speaks to us today and asks us to do very difficult things, we can know and be confident that God is with us as the Good Shepherd. So if God is with us, does that mean nothing bad will ever happen to us? What do you think? Does that mean everything will go well for us? We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson today with John and the high school group, and we learned that Moses, even when he went to Pharaoh the first time and said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "No way. In fact, I'm going to make your work even harder by taking away the straw you used to make bricks." And even in this passage, we see that Jesus has just said, "I want to give my sheep life and fullness of life." And then just a few verses down, later in this passage, the Jews are picking up stones to kill Jesus. Doesn't that seem like a contrast? On one hand, Jesus says, "I came to give you fullness of life," and then all of a sudden, Jesus is about to be stoned, and it wasn't God's time for Jesus to die yet, so Jesus was protected, and yet they wanted to kill Jesus. So obviously, following the Good Shepherd who gives us fullness of life, who protects us from the thieves and the robbers, obviously that does not mean that bad things will not happen to us. I was recently in India and visiting a friend's family. My friend's name is Vivek, and I know him from seminary in California. And he and his family live in a small apartment in Mumbai. And it's one small apartment in a very large apartment building, and it's surrounded by huge apartment buildings. And his family told me, they said, "Look, Nathan, do you see all these apartments? Out of all these families, we're the only Christians." And they went on to tell us about how they feel so alone as Christians and persecuted. They told me about how they've been bypassed for promotions because of their faith, and how they've been isolated. And I spent many hours speaking with my friend's father, who's over 70 years old. He's lived in India his whole life. And he told me, he said, "Trust God with your life, for God is faithful." And in the midst of all these difficulties that they have faced, it was so powerful to me that he said, "God is faithful. God has been faithful to us in the midst of our difficulties, and God will be faithful to you." And once I was also in Vietnam, and I was visiting pastors of the underground church, and they also were sharing about how they and those they know had been thrown in prison, horrible prisons where they would be given one cup of rice and one cup of water a day, but then worked to death in the horrible heat. And so if they didn't have family members come every day to bring them food and water, they would die. But they were filled with such a deep joy and such a powerful hope and faith in God, such a deep faith that I've rarely seen in the West. And I was so inspired by that. You see, the Good Shepherd is also in India and Vietnam and all over the world, guiding Christians, leading them into a fullness of life in the midst of horrible persecution. And so that tells us that this fullness of life, it doesn't mean everything goes well outwardly for us. In fact, we'll have difficulties in our lives, but it's talking about a fullness of eternal life, an eternal safety we have in God. It's referring to the fact that we are safe in God's hands. There's this wonderful verse in John 10:28, later in this chapter. Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." The Good Shepherd is saying, no matter what difficulty you face, no matter what hardship, what persecution, you are safe in a way that no one can threaten you. No matter how they hurt you in this life, you are eternally safe in God. and no one can snatch you out of my hands. That is so comforting to me. And later in John 14:1, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And what's amazing about this, this is right before he's crucified. The Son of God is about to die a horrible death. God himself has entered into flesh and is about to be hung on a cross. The most horrific event I can imagine, and yet Jesus says to his sheep, to his followers, do not let your hearts be troubled. No matter what horrible thing happens around you, trust in God. Trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You will never perish. No one can snatch you out of my hands. The interesting thing is, as we follow the Good Shepherd, as like Samuel, we take steps of obedience, as we find this comfort, this fullness of life that no one can take away from us, God calls us to also help him in taking care of his sheep. Let's turn to the very end of John, John chapter 21. This is the final passage in John. And John is speaking to Peter. And let's just read part of it, beginning with verse 15. And remember, Jesus had died and has risen from the dead at this point. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You see, as we follow the Good Shepherd, he involves us in his work. He involves us in feeding other sheep. And for some of you, that may be praying for a friend, a Christian friend who's discouraged in his or her faith, encouraging them. Or maybe it's talking to a younger brother or sister that you have about God and encouraging them. You know, maybe it's like Samuel, taking a step of faith that God's asking you to take. But whatever it is, God will involve all of us in feeding his sheep and feeding each other. And what's really interesting is when Jesus says to Peter, follow me, he's using the same word in the Greek that he uses for the sheep following him back in chapter 10. So basically, Jesus is referring to the fact that Peter, you yourself are a sheep. As you're following me as a sheep yourself, you will help feed other sheep. And together, all the sheep will follow the good shepherd, who's Jesus. It's a wonderful image. And yet, Jesus says, this wonderful journey, this wonderful adventure of Peter, you following me and you helping me feed your sheep and all the sheep together following the good shepherd, it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you your life. In verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter had to follow Jesus even when it was difficult. And that's also how we have to follow God, even when it's difficult. Well, finally, in closing, I'd just like to consider practically, how do we hear the Good Shepherd's voice? I spoke Friday night about Samuel hearing the voice of God, and now I'm speaking this morning about us hearing the Good Shepherd's voice and following the Good Shepherd. But practically, how do we do that? How do we hear God's voice? And I think that God speaks in many ways. There's no limit to how God can speak. But I think the Bible tells us about three very common ways that God speaks to us. And the first is through Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we read the Bible, as we're trained in reading the Bible and seeing the Bible, we'll begin to recognize the shepherd's voice. And we'll know the types of things he asks us to do, and we can be confident that God will never ask us to do anything that contradicts Scripture. So Scripture is a primary way of knowing how God speaks to us. A second way is through prayer. God speaks to our hearts as we pray. In James 1:5 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Also in John, after chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples that when he leaves them, he will send the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor, who will guide us into all truth, according to John 16:13. So we hear God's voice through Scripture and through prayer, and I also believe through the counsel of wise Christians who've been following God longer than we have. In 1 Corinthians 4:15 through 16, Paul tells the Corinthians that he has become their father or mentor in Christ, and that they are to imitate him. And again in Hebrews 6:12 and 13:7, we are told to imitate those who have faithfully served God before us. So these are ways that we hear the Good Shepherd's voice, the way we enter this journey of following after him, of being involved in the Good Shepherd's work in the world, of feeding sheep, of taking steps of faith and obedience to God. I have some close friends who live in Los Angeles, and they're missionaries in a Central American neighborhood just outside of downtown LA. Their names are John and Jude. And they reach out to young people who are taggers. Taggers are illegal graffiti artists who take cans of spray paint and paint all over walls. And I'm sure you've seen graffiti like that, but some of them are really good. Some of them can paint beautiful scenes, beautiful paintings with spray cans, but it's an act of rebellion and it's illegal, and they get arrested and thrown in jail for this. And so John and Jude, one way that they minister to them is help them find legal ways to use their creativity. And so they get big canvases that they can paint on, or they get permission from a building owner. You know, can we paint a beautiful mural on your wall? So instead of painting initials now in this part of downtown Los Angeles, they paint things like the word hope or Jesus, or they paint Jesus' face. So they're actually doing Christian graffiti in a legal way. And it's a fascinating ministry. And many young people have come to know Jesus through this. But on the wall of their apartment where John and Jude live, they have this beautiful picture. It's a picture of a shepherd. And right at the bottom of the painting, you see a little lamb who's got stuck on a ledge of a cliff. It's like there's a cliff below the lamb, and then there's a cliff above it, and somehow this little lamb has gotten stuck on this ledge all by itself. But then on the top of the painting, you see the Good Shepherd, and he's holding on to a branch with one hand and then leaning down precariously, risking his life over the edge to reach towards that little lamb that's gotten stuck on a ledge, that it can't get itself off. And so the Good Shepherd is risking his life for that little lamb. And that's such a beautiful picture. And in so many ways, that's a picture of what John and Jude are doing there. They're risking their lives in this dangerous neighborhood, bringing the gospel to these young people who no one else really cared about until they arrived in this neighborhood. And just as that shepherd in this painting is reaching for that one lamb on that cliff, so God is also reaching out to each of us today. You know, in this painting, that shepherd does not have an angry face or even a disappointed face. That shepherd in this painting has a face filled with love. And God is reaching out to everyone here today with that same face of love, asking each of us to hear his voice and to follow him and to rest in the eternal safety we have by following the Good Shepherd. He's calling us to follow him as he called the young Samuel. And he's asking us to take big steps of faith in obedience to him, to enter the adventure of faith, to participate in the story of God's work in the world. And he is calling us to follow him no matter what the cost, as he called Peter. And as we do so, we will experience a fullness of life and a joy that we could never have imagined before. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we just pray that as you speak to us as a good shepherd, the good shepherd who has our eternal good in mind, that you give us the strength to hear and obey, that you would enable us to recognize your voice, to distinguish it from all the other voices that would lead us astray around us. And as we hear your voice and follow you, I just pray, God, that you'd fill us with the fullness of life you spoke of. In Jesus' name, amen.